So what we're covering is something that was originally derived by myself and our elders in Metamora to really key into the community and address things that we see are affecting a lot of people. So we discussed this, there has to be more than this, is a sort of idea that comes up when you're talking with friends or family or coworkers or classmates or whatever it is. That the problems that we face in life make life unsatisfying. And it makes us ask, why do these things happen? What's the solution to all this? How can I be happy, or how can I improve my life? Different things like that. And so we've all faced problems that make life feel unsatisfying at one point or another. And what if there was a solution to that? Well, we're here today, obviously, because we're talking about the fact that there is a solution. And we all know what it is, but maybe we haven't thought about it in this way before. So our presentations are really all centered around this idea that there has to be more to life and existence than what we experience. And that seems to be a thread throughout humanity, throughout its history, that living this life on its own terms can leave us with a lot of dissatisfaction and pain because of the problems that we see and experience, and the lack of meaning that these experiences provide. So many people out there are unsatisfied and hurting and looking for something more. And as we talked about last night, in examining our younger adult generations of Gen Z and millennials, so basically people from 40 to, I think you guys said Colton counts, so 12 or 13, those people are having problems that show us what is wrong with our society. And we looked at the numbers and we looked at some of the different issues that we're having, and focusing on them, you can see that this all around us is not working. People aren't happy. It's not working for the youngest generations anymore. They're having issues and they're seeing that there's no answer to these issues. And so all of these problems that we have are being caused. So as we talked about, this is kind of the layout of our lessons. And last night we identified the issues. So what are these different problems that we see? And we talked about the mental health epidemics and all of the different stressors that are going on with younger generations, and the fact that they are actually more likely to identify as spiritual or religious than older generations are. Somewhere even close to 80% sometimes. But that they're not going to church, they're not connected with any kind of spiritual communities, and so they're breaking a lot of those traditional norms of religion and spirituality. And Josh and I were talking a little bit after, and I kept thinking as we were talking of just how many times you read people who are writing about this and saying that this is so weird that younger adults are behaving this way because no one else has before. And what we kind of talked about was, I think it has to do a lot with the technological boom that we had in the last century or so. That changed the way that human beings interact with each other and how they receive information and all of these different things. And we're not here to philosophize on that. But we saw that the younger adults in our society are pointing to some of our biggest problems, some of our biggest issues. And so today we're going to talk about what is the actual problem underneath all of that. There is one core problem that is common throughout all of these issues. And then we're going to talk about the story of how God fixed that problem, which is the Bible. And how there is one continuous thread to show what God was doing, and it's to fix the issues that we're talking about. And tomorrow we'll talk in two different sort of lenses. How is Jesus actually the solution to that? Or you can take it more specifically of how is Jesus the solution to my problems? And that's what we're discussing. So today, what is the problem? Well, we want to point out what I would say is the real problem and the real solution, and the solution that is not going to be a surprise to any of you is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the solution. But maybe we'll talk about this in a way that you haven't thought of before and kind of fit things together in ways that you haven't seen. But with a lot of this, we talked about younger people last night, and I addressed the point that some might be thinking of why should I care what the kids are going through. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Josh pointed out the fact that those kind of heritage that we're leaving, we don't want to say, if Keith dies off and leaves it a mess for me, we don't want that to happen, right? And we want to understand the fact that these problems that they're having are problems that you're having too. It might just express itself in different ways. Because what this is the common problems of humanity. And really what Jesus came to fix in the first place. So, if you're here, it's probably because you've either had similar thoughts or feelings to these things, or you recognize that there are problems in your life or the world, and you're curious about the solutions. You should care because it's part of a human condition that we all face. And if you have further questions about any of this, or like I said, you want any of the numbers on things, I'm happy to talk about that. But if there's also anyone here who realizes that what we're talking about today describes them and you want help, then there are people here who will help you. Just talk to somebody. So as we go through this, this is more so of a rehash of what we discussed last night, and some of it's in different words. So what are the issues that we face, kind of as societies, and that are highlighted in the younger generations? Well, we see kind of broken down into two, personal and cultural, or you could say personal and collective. We have the mental health epidemics that are happening in young people. We have the overall dissatisfaction with life that people are experiencing and going on through young people. And we also have the cultural problems, like we talked about. There's some people are calling it the culture wars, these issues of identity and who am I and who can you say that I am, and all of the different ways that we try to answer that question. But there's also just the general problem that's always been there of materialism. And I don't just mean buying stuff and consumerism, but just trying to focus only on this life. That's also materialism. And that is one of the big problems that we face as well. So here is a picture, an image here, from the National Association of Mental Health, I believe is the acronym for that. And you're not going to be able to read all of the fine print. But the point is, if you look at these numbers, this is ages 12 to 25, kind of what we talked about. And this is 2020. And things have got worse after that, because this wasn't just all of 2020, but continuing into the issues that we have. I want to point out some things to you here that we talked about. Among U.S. adolescents aged 12 to 17, 3 million in 2020 had serious thoughts of suicide. We're not talking about adults here. Among U.S. adults 18 to 25, 1 in 3 experienced a mental illness. 3.8 million of them had serious thoughts of suicide. And it goes on to say how basically these sort of things were happening and the pandemic seemed to make it worse because their world was turned upside down, right? I mean, all of ours were. But think about how it affected the children and how overnight they were cut off from things, right? And here's another image that goes over some of what we were talking about. And this one is from the American Psychological Association. And this is asking different generations to describe what their mental health is like. And this is saying report either very good or excellent mental health. 45% of those who were born in 1997 and after describe their mental health as very good or excellent. And you see, as the generations got older, it just got better. And so the younger people are having a rougher time than anyone else. And we talked about the things that are stressing them out, right? All of these problems that are in the world that they're constantly seeing at their fingertips every second of every day on TikTok and Instagram and all of that is messing with their minds. Just an example, and I know she won't mind me saying this, but we got back into the car and Salem was talking about the fact of, you know, 3 weeks ago or so, she couldn't get to sleep because the Gaza stuff was just pouring all over Facebook, and she couldn't get it out of her mind that those kind of things were happening right now between Israel and Hamas. And that's kind of the idea, that these things are sticking with the children, and they're saying, this is going on in the world, and no one's doing anything, and there's no solution to it. And I think one of the reactions that those who are older might have to that is, why is it bothering these snowflakes so much? Or something to that effect. Why do they care? Well, for one, it's the fact that it's always in front of their face. And they're realizing that things are getting worse and worse, and the answers that society is providing are not working, and they're experiencing that. And this is not all just to point to mental health, but that is a representation of the fact that something is very wrong. So all of this really points to a bigger problem. And we ask, what is the real problem behind all of this? What is the problem with people having all of these issues within themselves and being dissatisfied with life and all of the problems that we collectively as people have with culture wars, arguing about sexuality and nationality and politics and race and people just obsessed with bodies and sex and money and status and all of this stuff? What is the problem here? If you look at what all these issues are and what they have in common and trace them back to their origin, there is one core problem that's causing everything that you see. And that is a broken relationship with God. That's the key to it. The reason that we're having all of these problems, the reason that people are experiencing what they're experiencing, is because personally, each one of us, and collectively, all together, our relationship with God has been broken. And we're going to show how Scripture sort of points to that and explains the story. And you might be thinking, well, that's not really that much of a surprise. But really think about that and how this explains what's going on. And the issues that are all going on of people trying to fill these holes inside of them is really just because of this. So as we talk about this idea of a broken relationship with God, and we kind of just even look at the beginning of Scripture. And as we go through this, if you're flipping through your Bible or you're scrolling through your Bible, I want you to look at this, and even though we're not going to necessarily read a lot of stuff in depth, we're going to highlight a lot, and I want you to be able to see these themes and connect these things that maybe you have or maybe you have not thought about before. But if we look back at the beginning, God's intention with creating all of this and creating us was to live with us. That's why we exist, because God wanted to be with us. He wanted to live with his creations, and we see that, and he talks about how it was good, and then it was very good, and that we are endowed with his image, and all of these things that we're supposed to be his representatives on the earth and take care of all of this. But once we get to chapter 3 of Genesis, then all of that is completely broken. Our wrongdoing separates us from God. And so you have things like the fact that Adam and Eve are cast out of the Garden of Eden, which is also, I think, a metaphor for what was happening on a larger scale, the fact that they are now cut off from the presence of God. And you see how things just get worse and worse and worse. But the result is that human beings are separated from God in a broken relationship, different from how things were supposed to be. And really the result of this, you can call it the fallout, and it really does react kind of like a radioactive fallout, is that there are broken people in a broken world. We don't know who we are or what we're supposed to be. And does that not explain everything that we've been talking about? That people don't know who they are or what they're supposed to be or what the answer to all of this is. It's because of our separation from God. And this manifests in our different problems. Looking specifically at this fallout idea, people try to make their identity about their politics, about their sexual orientation, about their gender, about their race, about the country that they're from, fill in the blank, whatever it is. And people try to make it as though that is what their identity is. And if that's who you are, if that's all you are, that's going to cause a lot of problems. And really what it is that we're looking for our identity in the wrong places. We as human beings are asking, who am I? You know, what's my purpose? All of that kind of thing. And we're all answering that question. We all answer that question. But if we look at all of these issues that we're talking about, we see that we are trying to put things in a place where they don't belong. Our answer to this question of who am I has been wrong. And it's causing people all kinds of problems. So if we look at this of who am I specifically in more detail, we've already established that first and foremost, every human being who has ever lived and is walking on this planet at this moment was created in God's image and likeness. Everyone in this building, everyone outside of it, anyone you have ever met or will meet was created in the image of God. And that's who you are. What that means is that all of us have a purpose to resemble God, to be like Him, and that's what He put us here for. But also, everyone who has ever lived and is living and will live is someone that Jesus came and died for. That's who you are. That's who all of them are too. But when we try to replace this with other things that don't last, all that does is cause pain. And so the answer to who am I is these things. We are created in God's image. We are those that Christ loved enough to die for. And if we kind of go back and look at all of this, not only are we looking for our identity in the wrong places, but we're trying to find satisfaction in the wrong places. So with all of this pain and the negative experiences that we have and the fact that people are unsatisfied with life, we ask, how can I be whole, or what will make me happy? How can I find purpose? Whatever you want to fill in that blank with, again, we're all asking that question. And it might be that you fill it with your kids. It might be that you fill it with your career. Whatever it is. But we all do that, not just the young people. What's our answer? How can I be whole? We try to make ourselves happy and satisfied with people, with experiences, with things, whether that's relationships and sex, whether that's money and stuff, whether that's a cause that we care about or our future goals and dreams. And we as human beings inherently try to make purpose for ourselves through that. Some of these things might be good on their own, but they can't fix our problems and make us truly fulfilled because they're trying to fill a hole that they can't fill. They distract us and they fight against our real purpose. And I want to look at a scripture that maybe you haven't thought of in this way, but really Jesus is pointing to a lot of this. Jesus says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." If you kind of read between the lines and you ask, what is really the purpose of what Jesus is talking about? You know, what is one of the lessons beyond, obviously, this idea of money that people are supposed to understand? And Jesus is saying, in particular here, the possessions, these things distract us. And we use them to fulfill ourselves, but what they really do is fight against what we should really be focused on. There is more to life than this. But we use all this kind of stuff to distract us from that and try to make the pain go away. And what Jesus says is that is just making the problem worse. It's separating you from God because you can't serve both of them at the same time. If you're focused on the here and all of the stuff that's in this life, then you won't be worried about what's beyond this. You won't be focused on God. We were made for more than this. And there are more important things beyond this life, what you can buy and what you can do and who you think you can be. And when that is what we focus on as human beings, we lose out on the most important things. And that is sadly what all of us have done at one point or another. So when we look at that, that question of how can I be whole, and we just saw other people, experiences, and all these things, they can't satisfy us. Or if they would, if they were able to, then it would be a one and done, and we wouldn't need anything. We wouldn't need the new car. We wouldn't need the better boyfriend. We wouldn't need the better vacation, the bigger house, whatever it is. Because the first one would be good enough. But it's not. That's because these things can't satisfy us. And they leave us kind of asking, the fact that we're not satisfied is that there has to be more to life than this. Or really, what's the point of it all? And some people have no answer to that. And I think we often take for granted the fact that we have an answer, and especially those of us who have grown up in this, because that's just implicitly in our minds, but some people do not have that. And it is wrecking them. And it is wrecking the world. And this is something that we saw start in the Bible. It is just now carried on. But, as we said, there is more than this, and we were made for more. Our purpose is higher than all of this. So how do we fix the problem? As we think about all this, what do we do? If there is a solution, how do we find it? How do we use it? If we recognize the problem underneath all these other issues, then we should understand that only fixing the real problem is going to solve our problems. The only way that we can fix this is by fixing the real problem, and that is our broken relationship with God. That's a solution for everyone out there. All these people that are hurting and going through these things, this is the answer. But they don't know it. It's not just as though this is just for the individual, but think, if everyone collectively, one by one, their relationship with God was changed and they were able to be reconciled to Him, what effect would that have on the world? Would that not also solve the rest of those problems with it? Or if everyone had this umbrella over us about this idea of our relationship with God and its importance, wouldn't all of it be fixed? Broken people will be changed, the world will be changed, and that's the solution. But who's going to fix it? Can you do it? The way that we live our lives as human beings, we often try to trick ourselves into thinking that we can fix this problem by ourselves, or we at least try to cover up the symptoms on our own. But the reality is that we can't fix the problem. You can't do anything about that on your own. How could you? Can you make up for everything that you've ever done wrong? Can you be perfect? Can you create some kind of lasting purpose for your existence? No, you can't. And a lot of these issues that we're talking about and the biggest problems in humanity in the past have all been because human beings are trying to do this on their own. And we can't do it. Jesus became a human being. He lived perfectly, and He gave up His life to fix this problem for you because He loves you, because He understands each and every one of our purposes. And there are scriptures that talk about this idea. For instance, Colossians 1, God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? Notice these things. Jesus came to reconcile everything to God. And if things needed to be reconciled, what does that mean? Things were broken and separated. We see even here Paul describing, and obviously it's not his full intention in this context, but even here he's saying that the purpose of Jesus coming here was to fix all that stuff that was broken. Because we were alienated, we were separated from God because of the things that we did. And hostile to God in our minds because of the things that we were focusing on and trying to fix that problem with. But now Jesus has come and has broken and fixed the separation so that we can be presented to them, to Jesus, without blemish and free from accusation. That's the solution. He wants you to know what he's done, and he wants you to respond. And that is the story for everyone. And we think about this and the idea that we can't fix this on our own, but that Jesus gave up his life to fix that problem. And people don't know that. Or if they do, they've heard it before and it's been twisted by those of us who have the problem ourselves and make it so that they can't actually encounter the message. But this is the solution. This is what the answer to the real problem is. And God wants us to hear it, and he wants us to respond to it. And if we look, for instance, at a couple different scriptures here, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And this is the story that people need to know. That their purpose, their reason for being, their identity, and all of that is wrapped up here. That you were loved enough by God that he came and died for you, even though you didn't give any kind of acknowledgement to who he is, you didn't do anything to earn it, you didn't love him first, but he loved you because of who you are, and he came to fix your problem. And how that plays out, and this is another spot, he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And as you see, these passages are just summing up what we've been saying. That Jesus died so that people would realize their true purpose. It's not about them, it's about something bigger. The reason that we're all here, it's for our relationship with God. Jesus came to reconcile all of us back to the one who made us. He became these things and took all of that to provide the solution. I hope that as we conclude and kind of wrap this up, that you can see that the problems that we all face as human beings come down to one root cause. And that is, on a personal level and a collective level, our relationship as human beings with God has been broken. That causes all the problems that you can see. That's the reason behind all the issues. If you trace them back to their origins, if you line them up in columns and say, what do they have in common? This is what it is. This is what Scripture says it is. This is what is being pointed to. All of this is the result of the fallout from what happened at the beginning. And here we've introduced a little bit about the solution to this problem, and it leaves us wanting more and thinking, you know, there has to be more than this. Right? There is more than this. And there's a solution to all of the problems that we've introduced. And the next session, we're going to point to how the Bible records the story, and really that this solution is the main theme throughout the entire thing. The Bible records the story of God's plan to provide the solution and for Jesus to fix the problem. And that's the point of the whole thing. So we want you to know the solution and hope that hopefully all of you do know this. But if there's somebody here who doesn't, then how can we help you? I don't know all of you. I don't know where you are or what your story is in relationship to this story. Do you need prayers? Do you need questions answered? Do you need to just get connected with someone here? Do you just want to learn more? Do you want to respond to Jesus? Now, let us know how we can help.